Shamans are cartographers of the soul. They're map makers. And they have made maps to the world, to the life beyond death, for millennia. The maps that we have in the West to the lands beyond death have been made by people that have had near-death experiences, who have been resuscitated at the operating table. Now, the near-death experience is a very recent phenomena. Until about 30 or 40 years ago, if you had a near-death experience, you generally died because we did not have the technology to resuscitate someone, to bring them back. Today, we have thousands of people that have been brought back from death, and they all report the same landscape. They all report going through a tunnel to the light. They report meeting their heavenly parents. They report a life review where they examine every incident in their life, everybody they have wronged, everybody that has wronged them. And then they report a forgiveness for their journey. In fact, the curious thing about these experiences is that you are the defendant, the accused, the judge, and the jury. And you must acquit yourself incident by incident for every wrong that you have done and every time that you have wronged someone. The problem with the maps that we have from the near-death experience literature is that they were drawn by people who visited the domains beyond death for 3 or 4 minutes only. And just like if I go to New York City, I want to have a map that has been drawn by someone who knows the city well, especially if I want to find the nicer restaurants. Similarly, in my journey to the world beyond death, I want to have a map that has been drawn by someone who's been there for longer than 4 minutes. And this is what the shaman does during her training. Our students, when they do the West Direction work, they make that journey beyond death. We disengage their chakras, lift their luminous bodies, and they learn the way beyond death now, while they still have a physical body to come back to, so that we don't have to be learning it when we're making our final crossing, which is not the very best time to be asking for directions. The shaman learns that on the other side of life, there's only life. But the shaman learns this viscerally, experientially. She did not read it in a book. She knows it from her own journeys. And once we've made that journey beyond death, we are able to sit with a loved one who's making their final crossing and become an island of peace in the middle of this extraordinary storm that's taking place. Remember when you were going to lose your job, or when you were going to lose your husband or your wife, or when you were going to lose your house? The tremendous anxiety and fear that we felt at the possibility of the end of our marriage. Well, imagine the terror that is felt when you know that you're going to lose your job and your husband and your house and your children and your eyesight and your sense of touch and your ability to breathe, and that this will be the last sunrise that you see. As the senses begin to collapse, there's an extraordinary electrical storm that occurs. The shaman, of course, prepares her entire life for this final journey so that she can make it consciously, and becomes like the carpenter that has made a chair that knows that she can put it in the fireplace because another one will come to take his place, and identifies with the architect and not with the chair. After the shaman has made this crossing, we're able to be with somebody who's passing and become an island of peace and of stillness in the midst of all of the drama that is happening in the family. Of the child that doesn't want to let go, of the spouse that is not willing to forgive, we can help to turn a hospital room into a temple, into a church, into a cathedral. Ooh.